Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Today we take a pause from the series of Matthew for the first of four chairman's address to you for this year. But first, I would like to make to reiterate what Pastor Alexa has said earlier. I need members to quickly register or submit a proxy for the AGM. We are far from the 175 needed for a quorum. And I also encourage you to attend this AGM because we want to hear from you and you from us. During this lockdown, we are seeing more people praying and studying the Word. Our prayer meetings and CED classes have exceptionally high attendance. Private prayers and study of Scriptures have also increased. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. God is strengthening our inner self, inner lives. Perhaps for next year's theme, which is moving beyond our comfort zone. So I encourage you to sign up for Kayong's class today and also for Hera's monthly session. Join us too in our land morning prayers. You will be enriched. As Reverend David Wong says, don't waste this crisis. Let God build up your inner life. I continue today on the topic discipleship. In particular, on what Jesus says are the outward signs of a disciple. And if you can recall, I last spoke on Jesus' command in John 13:35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. When people see the love we have for one another, here in PJEFC, they will know we are disciples of Christ. Have you had people come up to you and tell you, you are a disciple of Christ? Or have you heard them telling others, he's a good Christian, or he or she follows Jesus? Okay. So today I want to look at another outward sign, proof of us being disciples of Christ. And that is fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is a mark of discipleship. And in John 15:8, Jesus says that God is glorified that we bear much fruit, and so proof to be his disciples. If fruitfulness is seen in PJEFC, it will confirm to us that the church is progressing in the right direction to make discipleship our dominant culture. And that is important for us to know. First, we will look at some teaching on fruitfulness and then applications and a challenge for us to respond to. I miss the part of the physical church where people can come up to be prayed for. But we can do this online. You can press the request prayer button, give your name and contact, and a pastor will call, talk, and pray with you in confidence. And you can press that button anytime during the sermon. First, let me share my adventure in planting papaya trees. I have three grown-up trees in my small garden, which I planted from seeds. I care for them and I see them grow. But each tree stirs up a different emotion within me. This tree gives me emotion of great joy because it bears many large fruits. The gardener is satisfied with the fruit of his labor. This second tree has few small fruits. I'm disappointed, but I am hopeful. If I care for it a little bit more, maybe it will produce large fruits. This third tree looks healthy and strong, but it bears no fruit. So I am gravely disappointed. And from these papaya trees, I learn a bit of how God feels about his children. Fruitfulness of a disciple. And there is no better text to look at than Jesus' words in John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. We can stand and read them together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Please sit. These verses center on this inseparable relationships between God the Father, who is the gardener, Jesus, his Son, who is the true vine, and although not specifically mentioned, the Holy Spirit is the sap flowing through the vine, and Jesus' disciples, the branches. This relationship between the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is there from the beginning of time. And as humans, we are unable to fathom this relationship. But it is a mutual, self-giving, and love relationship. And one author describes it, their relationship is like orbiting around one another in a dance. And I, a human being, can enter into that relationship. As a disciple of Christ, I can be connected and get caught up in the dance too, orbiting with the triune God. And this is only made possible for us through Jesus Christ and His sacrificial death on the cross. Isn't it wonderful and good news that we can enter that relationship with Jesus? News too wonderful for us to keep to ourselves, compelling us to share with others. And this relationship, abiding in Jesus, abiding in His Word, abiding in His love, and keeping His commandments, produces an outcome in His disciples. And the outcome is fruit. And fruit is mentioned 6 times in these 11 verses to underscore its importance. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is it that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Notice the flow. No fruit in the branch, throw it away. Got fruit in the branch, God prunes so that it produces more fruit. And when it comes to verse 8, the disciples, the branch bears much fruit and God is glorified. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Fruitfulness is therefore a mark of a disciple of Christ. Fruitfulness glorifies our Father. It points people to God. And the picture before us is clear. Fruitfulness is proof. Fruitfulness is showing. Fruitfulness is evidence. It is a sign, a mark. Fruitfulness confirms to me and to others that I am a disciple of Christ. And a fruitful disciple glorifies God. So there are 3 questions I want to touch on. What kind of fruit? How much is much fruit? And how is faithfulness and fruitfulness connected? What kind of fruit? How many types? Is there good or bad fruit? Can an unbeliever produce fruit? Well, in the New Testament, 3 types of fruits are mentioned. A fruit of conversion, fruit of acts of mercy, and of course, fruit of the Spirit. Remember, these fruits are produced through our relationships with the living Jesus, abiding in Him, abiding in His Word, abiding in His love, and obedient to His commandments. Conversions. Conversions are called fruits. In Romans 1:13, Paul writes that one of his purpose of coming to Rome was to reap a fruit among the Jews and Gentiles there. And in Jesus' words in John chapter 4, 35 to 36, he says, "Look, see the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life." What does this mean for me? When I see many souls coming to Christ in PJEFC, this confirms to me that our discipleship process is gaining traction. And this is how we measure ourselves. The second type of fruit is acts of mercy. God deeds or acts of mercy to the poor are also called fruit. In Romans 15:28, Paul collected money for the needy for the church in Jerusalem. This collection is also called fruit. Acts of mercy and good deeds carried out in his name glorify God. And I thank God in PJEFC we have plenty of this fruit. We are generous in the giving of money for his kingdom, for meeting the needs of our members and others. We are also generous in good deeds and works of mercy. This glorifies God and is a mark of discipleship. And I give thanks to God for you. The third type of fruit is, of course, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. Through our relationship with the living Jesus, the fruit of Christ-like character is produced in our inner lives. And the fruit of the Spirit grows and is a lifelong faith and obedient process. As we take up the cross and deny ourselves daily, some part of our old self dies and Jesus takes control of it. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a seed alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit, says Jesus. And the fruit of the Spirit is not for us to keep to ourselves. It is meant for us to relate to others. Imagine, what good is the fruit if you are the only person in an island? There would be no one to love. Kindness, gentleness, and self-control would have no meaning. No one to be patient with. No one to share joy with. Fruits are to be eaten by others, or it will rot. It is a mark of discipleship if the fruit of the Spirit is seen in us. Growing love, growing joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the question for you is this: which fruit shines the most in you? Which fruit you most lacked in? Another question: are there fruits that do not glorify God? Are there good and bad fruit? Yes, in Matthew 7, verse 16, Jesus warns about false prophets who are wolves, who comes in sheep clothing that seek to divide the church. And Jesus says, we will recognize them by their fruit. And the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5 contrasts the works of the Spirit and that of the fruit of the Spirit. And just before he wrote the verses on the fruit of the Spirit, he wrote Galatians 5, 19 to 24, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this." So there's a long list as well. And he said, "I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." The works of the flesh comes with a grave warning from God. And let us not be mistaken or underplay what God means. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And this is a serious matter. An unbeliever is unable to produce the fruit of the Spirit because he or she has no relationship with Jesus. We are all born sinful, children of Satan. In Romans chapter 1, Paul uses the word grafted into. And we must first be grafted into Jesus, the true vine. And then, only then, the Holy Spirit can give the living water to us. Make no mistake about this. The works of the flesh is an enemy to God. They cannot coexist together. But praise be to God. We who belong to Christ have put to death the flesh with all its passions and desires. We are all branches of someone, either of Jesus, who is the true vine, or of the devil, the Bible says. And this is a grave matter. If you don't have this relationship with Jesus, you will be like the branch without fruit, thrown away and burnt. Another question: how much is much fruit? For this, we have to look at the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4. You know the parable quite well. A farmer sowed seeds, and they fell on four types of soil: on the path, on rocky ground, on weeds, and on good soil. The seed is the word of God. The four soils represent four types of people. And we are in one of this category. Every one of us is in one of this category. Which one are you in? The first is the path people. They come to church. They hear the word every week, but they have no interest in it. Jesus described it as Satan having control over them. And Tim Keller calls them fake Christians. The second is the rock people. Happily, they receive the word, but that's about it. They have no desire for their lives to be changed. And Jesus described them as people with no foundation. And when trials or persecution comes to test their faith, they simply collapse and fail easily. Ajit Fernando says, many people come to Christ because he meets their needs, not because they want to be holy. And these are sleepy Christians. Next is the weeds people. These people, they like the world more than heaven. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things choke them. It strangles them. These are the carnal Christians. Then you have the good soil people. They hear the word, they accept it, they embrace it, and they are obedient to it. And these are the disciples of Christ who bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And a true disciple of Christ is the good soil people. So, which type of person are you? Another question, how is faithfulness and fruitfulness connected? And Jesus, of course, talked about faithfulness of a disciple, perhaps more than fruitfulness. And in Matthew 25:23, Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. Personally, I don't think we can separate the two. We are to be both faithful and fruitful. And Jesus called us to a faith that produces fruit. James writes that faith without deeds, which we can call fruit, is dead. And the gardener is both hardworking and skillful. And those who are gardener or farmer will know this. Hard work alone does not produce much fruit. We also need to be skillful. And Tim Keller says that a better way to measure the leaders of a church is fruitfulness. And I agree. And in PJEFC, in our ministries, we want to be both diligent and skillful and become fruitful. And God expects nothing less. I believe pursuing discipleship as a culture is a skillful decision. This makes the church strong, and we have to be hard at work with it. Hudson Taylor, who founded China Inland Mission, an organization with hundreds of missionaries and a huge financial budget. But as you know, he never prays for money. He prays for two things. He prays to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. And he prays for the church to be so strong that its members cannot stay still and have to go out to the mission field. Often, all three types of fruit are showing together. For example, disciples who display the fruit of the Spirit, they give welfare help to our migrants. This is the fruit of an act of good, of mercy. And this results in people coming to Christ, which is the fruit of conversions. Well, let me summarize, and then we will come to application and the challenge for us to respond. And a reminder again, you can press the request for prayer button anytime, give your name and contact number, and a pastor will call and pray with you in confidence. So the summary, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples, says Jesus. And using the imagery of God as the gardener, Jesus the vine, and although not mentioned, the Holy Spirit is the sap and his disciples are the branches, we can connect and enjoy fellowship with the triune God when we are grafted into Jesus. We know this because of what our Lord Jesus did on the cross and his invitation for us to come to me. The outcome of a close and uninterrupted relationship with Jesus is fruitfulness of his disciples. It is a living relationship of utter dependence upon him through constant abiding in his word, his love, and obedience to his commandments. Jesus says his true disciples are fruit-bearing people. Disciples have their roots firmly planted, and the nutrients from the word feed us and produce bountiful fruits in the 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And a disciple who bears much fruit glorifies God. And God is glorified when his disciples bring people to believe in him, when they perform good deeds in his name, and when people are captivated by the fruit of the Spirit in his disciples, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. People who have not the Spirit of God and are not grafted into Jesus, they are unable to produce the fruit that glorifies God. Jesus gave them a warning. They are to be cut off and thrown into the fire. But praise be to God, we belong to Jesus. Now, some application and a challenge for you to respond to. In this season of Lent, as we focus on Jesus' sacrificial death, we asked, is there a sacrifice I can offer? No sacrifice is too small. The 2 coins, it's a very small amount of money. But to the poor widow, it was a sacrifice. And God is pleased with that sacrifice. Can you offer a sacrifice this Lent season? Something that cost you your time, resources, and money. It has to hurt. Otherwise, it is not a sacrifice. What type of Christian are you? Answer these questions. Is your assurance of God's forgiveness and love clear for you? Is the scripture alive and active to you? Are you conscious of a growing sense of evil in your heart? Can you grasp the preciousness of the mercy of God? And if you are unable to say yes, you may be a fake or a sleepy Christian. And Jesus says that Satan already has control of you, or you have backslided. And God wants to awaken you. And I pray the Holy Spirit will convict you. And for those who can answer yes, where are you in the journey of discipleship? Are you a rock person? When trials and temptation come to test your faith, you give in easily. You have no interest in holiness. Are you a weak person? And your love for the world is stronger than your love for God. And you know this because you produce little fruit which glorifies God. The cares of the world and its desires strangle you. And we all need to repent. Is there an area of holiness you want to have victory on? Is there a fruit of the Spirit you lack, which you most need? Let us make this sacrifice this Lent season. I also personally know that many in our church are true disciples of Christ. Our leaders and pastors, and quite a number of seniors. And they are bearing fruits. They are dancing with the triune God. But may I request you, especially the intercessors, to increase the intensity of your prayers for PJEFC. Pray for more workers for the harvest. Pray for many conversions. Pray for fruitful disciples. Uphold our spiritual frontliners, your leaders and pastors. They are God's army doing battles with the enemies of God. Be their Moses, Aaron, and Hur. Make a commitment to pray every day. It is pleasing. It is a pleasing sacrifice to God. I know the Impactors and the CUG are fasting this week. And each day this week, they offer a part of their body as a sacrifice to God. Their mouth, ears, hands, eyes, and heart. And if you have a sacrifice to offer to God, and you want a pastor to pray with you, just press the request prayer button. Give your name and mobile number. I guarantee you that you will find these prayers refreshing to your souls. But before I end, let me tell you the story of the papaya tree that bears no fruit. 2 months ago, during my daily devotion, I read the parable of the barren fig tree in Luke 13. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and he found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have been seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year until I dig around it and put manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." So I went to the papaya tree and I spoke these words. "Look," he said, "I'm very disappointed with you. You're taking up valuable ground space. One last chance. I will loosen up the soil around you and I will give you more fertilizer, and you better produce fruit or I cut you down." Well, for 2 months, almost every day, I inspected the tree. No fruit. So, just this Friday, I wanted to chop the tree down and take a photo for use as an illustration today. But lo and behold, I did found a small fruit. And the tree has been given a second chance to live. And my dear wife says, God has a sense of humor. Humor, yes. Patient, yes. Merciful, yes. But God is also dead serious about what He says. All His words will come true. In Matthew 3, John the Baptist warned the Pharisees to repent and produce fruit of repentance. And that urgency is echoed in verse 10. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I pray the Holy Spirit speak to you. Do not continue to harden your heart, or you may become like Pharaoh, so hardened that you are unable to repent. Our pastors are ready to pray with you and show you how you can be a child of God. Just press the request prayer button. Can I invite the worship team to lead us in the closing song?
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons.